It's time for the Cheap and Chad's Power Half Hour.
Chief, so sorry, Chris. Chief, yeah, it's not bad quality.
We can use my name. It's okay.
Okay, Chris. Okay,
I don't think Chief. work is going to mind.
Yeah, why would they, right?
No.
All right.
So what should we talk about? Should we have some sort of structure here, or what do you
think? I mean, this is just a preview, right? So this is just giving people a taste of what they're going to be hearing every week.
Well, I figured maybe we're here. It's only a half hour. I got a half hour. If you got a half hour.
I got a half hour.
Sure, we can talk about whatever. Just what do you think? Draft preview? How people might draft?
We could do that. We could talk about what we think is going to happen this year. Who we think might actually have a shot at winning before we even see their teams.
Well, that would be interesting. we could do that.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of draft strategy, I feel like with the recent, chat I had with Gates, with all the talk that's been going on, I feel like people are going to try some different strategies this year. And
we could talk a little bit about that, theorizing about, how the draft might go and positions and how much people might spend and this and that. So,
well, that's a good point, because I feel like this year, and maybe I felt this way in past years, but for whatever reason, this year seems to be like, there are so many viable running backs that I feel like you're going to see a more of a premium for wide receivers, because there are more running backs. So that should hopefully push the price down a little bit across the board. Mm-hmm. And therefore those top of the line receivers, right? Your Antonio Brown, your OBJ, DeAndre Hopkins, those guys are going to be going
right.
For, I could even see one of those guys topping
maybe
out
record prices.
Like, I could even see like a 70 for Antonio Brown, which is an insane number, but you know what you're getting with him, right? I mean, he is the utmost consistent player that has ever, over the past 5 years, he's the most consistent asset. So there's something to be said about the money you're paying for him.
I agree. I don't know if 70 is quite as high as I would go, but. Yeah, we could just kind of delve off into talking about stuff like that. I'm with you. So do you want to do an official opening or something?
Sure. Yeah. So let's welcome everyone to the
what we're
calling the Chief and Chaz Power Half Hour podcast. And this was just something born out of a conversation that Chief and I had, and we thought, we both have our own separate podcasts. So not that we're like veterans of the group, but we have ideally more experience than other people running one, and why not apply it to one of the things that we spend easily half of our year focused on, which is our Notre Dame group, our fantasy league that we've had for 9 years running now.
It depends on when you want to count the first year. That's a debate that could be covered on another podcast, perhaps.
Yeah. What's on the trophy you got there as our reigning champion? You got the trophy in front of you, right?
Well, I haven't added 2008 and 2009 yet, as I said I was going to, but that could that could happen over the next few weeks before I probably have to relinquish it to somebody else.
Well, you won't have to relinquish it till the end of the year, so you've got it for at least
right.
Like a few
months. I've got about 5 more months with this thing, and I'm gonna enjoy that.
Yeah. So, welcome. So, the goal of the podcast, I think, is just for us to have a conversation each week. We'll definitely make an effort to make sure we get it at least to once a week, where we'll talk about big trades that have happened. We'll talk about maybe some news in the NFL, things that might be affecting I think ideally the time we would do it would be maybe after Wednesday, so we can analyze the big waiver wire pickups as well. And just generally talk trash about other people, because nobody else is going to be on the show. So it'll just be me and you.
Well, you never know. Maybe we'll have guests on. You never know. We'll see. We'll see what format this takes in the future. Hopefully, unlike my weekly observations, this is consistent.
I'll be able to hold you to that. So
you will. And honestly, if we're only doing a half hour, that's actually usually
less
of a time commitment for me, because believe it or not, those weekly observations, when I do them, I try to do them and do them well, and don't just try to half-ass it. And sometimes it takes a lot of time to look over all the various matchups, look over people's teams, and come up with comments I might want to say and things like that. So it does, it takes me a while. And honestly, like, it could take a couple hours for me to pull that together. It's not easy. So,
You know, I always knew it took time. I didn't realize it took that much time. I always just assumed you kind of just went off the cuff and,
sometimes you go off the cuff, but like, you know, I have to go back and like look at the matchups, look at people's teams, where they are in the standings and this and that. And then some, you know, sometimes usually I write them really late at night. And, you know, sometimes I get really tired by the end of it. So sometimes towards the end, I phone it in a little bit. But, yeah, generally, they do take a minute for me to put together.
Fair enough. Well, I mean, maybe by doing this, right, you'll have a condensed version of that. So it'll be easier for you to just kind of put your thoughts out there. And then maybe that'll make it easier if you still want to do a written version. Whoop. You still there? It looks like we're having some connection issues. Oh, no, I think I lost the Chief.
Jazz, you there?
Yep, I lost you there for a minute.
You know, I have been having issues with this phone recently, so it's not you, it's me. So, sorry
that's
about right. That.
No, it's okay. I mean, I'll be able to edit this a little bit, so hopefully that won't be too much of an issue for people.
Okay.
Yeah. So what I was saying was that, you know, maybe by doing this, you know, you can still do written ones if you want to, but at least, you know, if it's very quickly, you know, just a few minutes, you'll be able to verbalize your thoughts and get it out there. So at least people are getting something every week from you.
That would be nice. And I hope to avoid a repeat of 2015 now that I'm going to be on a new beat.
Yeah.
This year. So I'm hoping to, you know, 2015 was a weird year for me professionally. And that time of year was a very turbulent, well, not a turbulent one, but just a different one for me professionally. And I kind of put fantasy on the back burner.
Understood.
So I'm hoping to avoid that in 2018 here.
Yeah, well, man, I don't think anybody begrudges you for that. I mean, yeah. You know, your personal life and your professional life come first.
For sure. We'll see
as
how
much
it goes.
Some people don't always subscribe to that theory.
Yes. But, so let's just – I say just jump right into it here. We got the draft coming up in about a month here.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to decide on a draft date, but the draft is always, to me, I listen to a lot of fantasy football podcasts, and in those podcasts they throw out a lot of strategies, mostly for snake drafts, but some of them do auction strategies as well.
Yep.
But every time I hear an auction strategy thrown out there by fantasy analysts, I almost just disregard it.
Because it has no bearing on ours. It
has no bearing
on
how our league
agree.
Is going to play out. We don't know where people are going to be spending their money, how much they're going to be spending it on, the Gates factor, all that stuff that's unique to our league. I think that's one thing I realized last year and even 2 years ago that I kind of changed my draft strategy. I was just like, I have to do something different and drastic and maybe go against the grain of what traditional fantasy analysts might do in a draft like this, because I feel like there are almost no steals in any of our drafts. It's very hard
to get a guy
undervalued. Yes.
Yeah, because you don't figure out the steals until later on. So for us, right, the top-end value guys are always pushed down. They're never as high as, like, the ESPN recommended values, and then the low guys almost never go for, like, the $1 or $2. They go for the $5, $6, $7 until, like, you're basically, you know, dragging the bottom of the barrel when everyone has just, like, one or two slots to fill and everyone's just not getting whoever they nominate for a dollar. So, like, the bell curve is shrunk in a way, and the middle ends up being inflated, so – you know, your strategy last year of going after, you know, Bell or Johnson and getting whoever was first to try and get them a discount basically was the right call. But now, like, for example, with this year, as I mentioned earlier, like, you have all these running backs. So I think there is potential for some steals, because depending on who gets nominated when, that, you know, depending on where people slot these different players in, you're going to see some people have differing values. Like, I've got some guys that I'm not going to talk about, but I've got couple guys that I would be targeting that I think their production will be where I want to be, but I'm hoping that because of all the players there are, all the options, that I might be able to steal them for a little bit less than you might think. But we'll see. I have no idea.
I think that's a good point. I think I don't think what I did last year in going after Bell is going to necessarily work this year, given how many running backs there are that are, that could be considered top tier players.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that, you know, in some ways those running backs might go for like a Bell and a Gurley might go for low 60s, but I don't know. I don't have a good feel for where the Alvin Kamaras of the world, the Kareem Hunt, you know, guys like that, that are maybe just a notch below them. Like, are they going to go in the high 50s, even low 60s, Ezekiel Elliott, for instance? Or are they going to, is there going to be a significant gap between Gurley and Bell and the rest of the running backs? That I haven't really figured out yet when it comes to our league. I don't know how that's going to play out.
Yeah, I mean, because everyone always seems to have different values, right? And I think that there are some players, I mean, everyone agrees, right? Like, Bell is basically, you know, more or less you're going to be your top running back. But then I feel like the next 5 to 6, it's just, you know, everyone has their own order that they're going to pick them in. And what's even more interesting is that this year, I also listened to a bunch of different fantasy podcasts. Kat can tell you, I listen to them in the shower, right? It's the best time to do it, for me at least, because that's a 15-minute block of time, yes. And I'm otherwise just showering. So, but it
takes you 15 minutes to shower.
Well, I mean, sometimes I'll take it longer if I want to. We got a really nice new shower. We just redid our bathroom. So, at one point, I was taking like 3 showers a day because it was so nice. it's got like the rain shower overhead, but
yeah, it's just spent 45 minutes with water cascading down.
Yeah, well, we got a bigger hot water heater, so it can take it. So it's all good.
All right, but good thing you don't live in California. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, true. But, you know, so I listen to all these different podcasts, and there are some players that I am that are very obvious to me that they are so divisive, where just different experts have them completely ranked differently than where I would have thought they'd be, and they're different from each other. And Kamara is one of them. Hunt is one of them. Gordon is one of them. You know, there are a couple players where it's just – You just don't know, right? So you have to basically just pick your guys that, you know, these would be like my guys. These are the guys I'm going to go with. And then you hope you're right. And, you know, we all know that luck plays a strategy. You know, luck is a factor in fantasy, right? If you just get the right guy at the right time and if you spend the right amount of money, it allows you to get other stuff. So, you know, we don't ever really do like a full post-mortem on previous years, but maybe doing this podcast will allow us to kind of examine stuff previously to look at and try and find those things.
Yeah. I remember looking last year, just speaking in a more general term, I would say that probably one outside of Alvin Kamara, which was, you know, to Ryan for, I think, $3, which in, you know, he ends up getting the number 3 running back. Probably the best value of the draft was Joe going for Kareem Hunt and spending $30-ish on a player who ended up as the number 1 running back.
Yeah, but you know what? I would challenge you there.
Number 1 running back, not the number 1 running back.
A number 1 running back, top 12. But I would challenge that, you know, in the first half of the year, sure. But there was a period there where for about 8 weeks, he was barely – cracking like 11 points a game, and there was like 5 weeks where he barely scored 8. He really tailed off. I mean,
he did, but at the end of the year, at the end of the year, the numbers were there, and in the playoffs, he showed back up again. Kareem Hunt owner in 2 other leagues, he did show up when it mattered the most.
That's fair, but my point was that at least for me, I personally value. I look at 2 things, right? I look at your top end ceiling, right? And actually, exactly. For me, consistency is much more important than top-end ceiling, but it's also about my roster construction. Because if I've got, depending on who I've got, I might want a guy who is more consistent versus the top-end. And so for that reason, I would argue that my pickup of Mark Ingram probably was one of the best values given his what he produced versus in terms of his consistency, because he was very consistent with his scoring. And I paid very little for him.
That is true. I forgot about Ingram, and you didn't pay a lot for him because at the time that was the 3-headed monster of the New Orleans backfield with Adrian Peterson clouding it up. I'm looking at some of the other prices. Ryan getting Fournette for $30 last year. It's amazing that Ryan did not make the playoffs last year. I don't know. Honestly, you look at his roster, and it's like, how does that roster not make the playoffs? But it didn't. and I'm looking at some of the other running backs. Gurley, coming off of a off year last year, Gurley went for $40. And that was when he was surprising. Just a number 20 running back in fantasy the year before. And so Todd Gurley's going to easily go for, he's going to be in that low 60, maybe even mid 60 range.
Yep, I can see that. I think he'll be one of the top three off the board.
But the question is, what are people going to want to pay for Leonard Fournette this year? I don't think Saquon Barkley is going to go for just $30. I think he's
Barkley's going to go for,
he's going to go in the 50-ish range, give or take. But where do all those other running backs? Is that what it's going to cost to get a tier one running back this year, or a top 10 running back this year? Or is there going to be a gap in price? That is, to me, one of the biggest questions of this draft this year.
Yeah, I think you're going to see, at least my general feeling right now, just based on how I'm seeing things play out in mocks that I'm doing, and granted it's hard with auction mocks, but just based on snake drafts, for me, there's basically you're seeing a heavy top end of running backs, then a big gap, and then all the rest. So I think
the question is
years where we see 40 plus running backs a lot in that area, and then like 25 and below, and there's going to be almost no one in that 25 to 40 range.
That's an interesting thought, and I think that there's definitely some merit to that. I don't know what that middle class of running back looks like this year when you have so many top end options.
The other thing is
are people going to who's going to zig while other
and go for
are zagging,
wide receivers
and maybe go for top end wide receivers, like they pull a U and they go for three number one wide receivers you have been known to do in the past. Maybe because everybody's spending so heavy on running back, maybe you go for the position scarcity and you go for top end wide receivers instead. I don't know. I haven't given much thought to what I specifically am going to do for this draft. I just have general ideas on players and dollar amounts and what I might want to do position by position, but I haven't gotten to the nitty gritty of I like this guy or don't like this guy, or I want to go big on wide receivers or not on running backs yet.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the key, right? And that's probably one of the things that I've learned from some of the fantasy podcasts I listen to. And I don't know which ones you listen to, but for me, the two big ones I listen to, three, I listen to the Fantasy Footballers. I listen to Fantasy Feast, which features Evan Silva. I really like his stuff. And then the Roto World podcast, they do a lot of back end analytics and stuff that you normally wouldn't hear about. Those are the three that I listen to. Mm-hmm. But one of the things they always talk about is, keeping water, right? You can go in with a general strategy, but basically as soon as bets start being made and people start going off the board, you have to change your strategy based on what you're seeing. And if you're locked into what you're doing before you do it, you're going to really hurt yourself.
Yeah.
So what I am projecting, and I don't know if it's going to happen, but I could definitely see this being the year that someone's going to try it, is that given that there are so many running back options, meaning that there's more options of top end guys, I think you're going to try and see somebody try and grab two, if not three, of those top seven, top eight guys.
Of running backs.
Yes. I think you're going to see someone with a Bell, Zeke, a Johnson, Zeke, Johnson, Gurley, Johnson, Kamara. I think you're going to see one of those combinations where people are trying to go big and then they try and grab a lot of value wide receivers. I think someone's going to try that because in previous years, you couldn't have that happen, right? Because there was basically, let's say, two or three running backs. No one's going to let you get those guys for cheap enough. Now with so many choices, people are probably not going to be as they're not going to be as likely to price enforce. If depending on what they have going on, so I mean, we'll see what happens, but I think someone's going to try that, and we'll see.
Yeah, and it's, you brought up a point before about being fluid, watching the draft play out, and kind of adjusting from there. I almost took, and that's kind of how I went into almost every draft prior to last year. But last year I went into the draft and I was basically like, I am coming away with four or five of these six or seven guys. And I don't care really what happens after that. Mm-hmm. So I was almost like, I don't care what happens in the rest of the draft. I don't care how it plays out. I'm walking away with my guys and then I'll fill in the rest later. and figure it out later. Because I, too many times in this league, I've gone in and stubbornly, I thought, you know, years would be different where I've like, I've targeted a couple of like mid-range guys or people who I thought were going to be, you know, low-end sleeper type picks, like the Jabbar Gaffneys of the world. If people remember for that one off season when Jabbar Gaffney was like a huge, like, quote unquote trendy sleeper. But the problem was he was a trendy sleeper to everybody in the league. And he went for, I don't remember how much money, but it was an absurd amount of money that should not have been the price for Jabbar Gaffney of all people. I'm looking at it was $9, but it turned out to be a waste of $9. I ended up getting him and it was a waste of time.
Yeah.
$9 better spent elsewhere. I also think of a year, I think it might've been 15, where I targeted Jarvis Landry and I was like, oh, I'm going to get Jarvis Landry and I'm going to get him for $15, $20 or something like that. You know, I thought I was going to get him for a decent amount. Like
high 20s, right?
He went for like high 20s, low 30s. It was ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah. So I came away too many times with incidents like that in the draft where I thought I was going to get somebody for a certain price. And I ended up either having to overpay for him. It was $29 in 2016 to Jake. That was the Jarvis Landry disappointment year for me. And so last year, and maybe I adopt a similar strategy this year where it's like, I've got four guys I want. I'm coming away with them no matter the price. And I'll figure it out later.
You know, you say that, but I just have a feeling that you're going to have multiple people in the league that have that philosophy this year. And some people are going to have overlap, and then you're going to have the same issue where someone's going to tap out before the others and someone's going to overspend. I don't know who's going to be. It'll be interesting to see what happens. But I think a lot of people are going to take that strategy this year.
That's why you have to be a little fluid with it.
Yeah.
Where you have like six or seven guys and you come away with four or five of them. Larry Fitzgerald was another one of those guys for me last year. But once I got Doug Baldwin as my second receiver, I kind of knew I wasn't going to end up with Fitz.
Yep.
And Kelvin Benjamin was another one. And that is, I mentioned this in the chat the other day, that is a case of losing a bidding war to somebody, but then actually being winning okay in the end and being okay with it, because that was money that was not very well spent. It's just interesting to me to see what happens in the middle tier of our drafts. It's unbelievable sometimes how guys zero in on the same guy and they're saving money for specific players. And God forbid if Gates joins the fray,
what do you do?
You throw every estimation out the window. You throw every value out the window and you think it's going to go one way and then it just goes a completely different way. That's what I love about this league though, because it is so unpredictable. It is so varied, and it's and everybody knows what they're doing, which is helpful. You don't have that you know, those like maybe a third of the league doesn't really know what they're doing, and you can take advantage of them.
It would not be anywhere near as enjoyable.
No, it would not be, and it would be a little easier to dominate.
Yeah, something else I'm looking forward to seeing how it plays out this year is in the quarterbacks. And you know, typically in our league, quarterbacks don't really go for a lot. They're much less. But given the onset of guys like Deshaun Watson, I really want to see where someone like him ends up going in relation to like Aaron Rodgers, you know, Russell Wilson. You know, even though he has these major swings, he has basically been a quarterback one his entire career. And he always goes for less than he should, right? I mean, arguably, you could make the argument that he should be going for like Aaron Rodgers type money for what he puts up. All told, but you know, I'm just curious to see what are your thoughts on some of the QBs that typically might go lower, but because of past performance, because of now their ability to run and score, right? Cam Newton's always been one of those guys. Is their value propped up because of that? And with a guy like Watson who's coming off an injury and a guy like Wentz who's coming off an injury, how does that factor into, you know, someone going to try and see if, you know, is someone going to grab him because they might be lower because of the injury risk? Because I feel like generally we don't really carry a lot of weight for injury risk in our league. We don't really factor that in too much.
We don't, but with quarterback, generally you don't have to worry so much about injury risk. With quarterback too, you can always find a semi-decent replacement, you know, Alex Smith for years, the quarterbacks who are available on the waiver wire that you could pick up and plug in to fill a quarterback injury. So quarterback, you don't really worry about the injury risk as much. But everything is related. So I wonder how, you know, the fact that there are going to be a lot of potentially expensive running backs, how that relates to quarterback pricing. And because quarterback has been the position that fluctuates the most year to year in our draft. We've seen instances of quarterbacks going in the high 30s and low 40s some years, you know, especially when Aaron Rodgers was really yep. hot earlier in this decade. And last year, you know, in the last few years, the quarterback market has considerably cooled. And that's why for the first time ever last year, I went for a top tier quarterback. Cause I thought, oh, I think the value has gotten such that taking a guaranteed top two or three quarterback, as I thought Tom Brady was worth paying $20. Because you weren't paying $40 anymore. You weren't having to go that high to get a number one quarterback. But now, quarterback is allegedly, and I say allegedly because I'm not convinced of this, allegedly the deep, you know, very deep this year. What I find interesting is that quarterback is supposed to be very deep, but yet receiver is not that deep. And I almost feel like, well, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me, because if quarterback is deep, there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks putting up decent numbers. It should also follow that they're going to bring up some of these marginal receivers, like take my 49ers, for instance, the Pierre Garçons and Marquise Goodwins of the world, you know, and making them startable fantasy options as number two or number three wideouts. So I don't buy that, you know, receivers are kind of shallow, whereas quarterbacks are kind of deep. You could probably make that case, but I'm not necessarily buying that quarterback is as deep as everybody says it is.
Well, I think the reason why they say that is because it's positional value, right? So with a quarterback, obviously, in the majority of leagues, you have one quarterback. So I think they're saying deep in the sense that, especially if you're taking the streaming option, right, which is becoming more popular now, mm-hmm. where you're basically trying to pick and choose matchups every, you know, between two and three quarterbacks every week, that, yeah, in that case, trying to find somebody who's basically a consistent quarterback one, that is deep in the sense that there are more options for that to happen. So I think that's usually what they're referring to, especially at least that's what I get from the podcasts I listen to and stuff I read online. Versus right. with wide receivers, you know, that, you know, it's because you're now picking for us again, because we have three wide receiver spots, you know, there's that extra level of that extra layer that we have to factor in. And those are always going to end up being your wide receiver twos, your wide receiver threes, that you're basically just more or less hoping have a good week, unless you're taking the traditional Chaz strategy of, you know, drafting three wide receiver ones.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just looking over some of these quarterback rankings here. I'm looking at CBS, for instance. They have three analysts. I listen to their podcast, so I know their analysts a little bit. And I'm looking at some of the quarterbacks they have ranked here. And one guy actually has Carson Wentz at number 13, which
that's too low.
Is fascinating to me. Having listened to the podcast, I know why he did it. Because if you look at the amount of attempts Wentz had versus the amount of touchdowns he threw, it's an unsustainable amount of touchdowns for the number of attempts he had.
Right, he was high.
Yes.
And for example, last year, Mariota and Matt Ryan were much lower. We're typically, they're about 5% conversion from, you know, attempts to touchdowns. They were both at like high 2%.
Yeah.
So you would expect them to kind of have a positive regression this year back to the norm.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I can understand that point, but I don't know. I feel like that's still.
But then I look at, you know, the people that are 10, 11 and 12. So if you go into this draft, our auction draft, and you say, I'm going to punt on the quarterback position, I'm just gonna get somebody for a dollar or two or maybe $3, and that's gonna be my quarterback. I'm gonna get somebody at the low end of the starterability
you know, a starting ability. You're looking at somebody like Phillip Rivers, Stafford, Cousins, you know, Garoppolo, Matt Ryan, somebody of that ilk being your starter. Patrick Mahomes is down in that area for a couple of their rankers. I'm not. Well,
if you're going for running backs, I think that's fine. You're probably going to be okay with getting one of those guys for just a few dollars if you're going after hard after running backs or wide receivers.
But then it becomes an issue of what's a more secure bet? Where is your money better spent? You know, is it better spent going after a running back, or is it, you know, paying $25 potentially for Aaron Rodgers?
You'd say Aaron Rodgers, but now he's missed he's had two injuries in seasons that to me make the secure bet of Aaron Rodgers more risky. You know, I would say someone like $25 for Russell Wilson, that makes total sense because of his playing history, because of his consistency. But for someone like Aaron Rodgers with his injury, I feel like that $25 can't be there anymore. And I know most people would think, oh, well, spend it on the running back that you know is going to produce. But traditionally, if you go back and look at the top, let's say, 12 running backs that have been drafted, you know, guys that are drafted as the running back one, on average, 50% of them end up busting. So it's just about – and when I'm saying busting, I'm not about the injury, but they don't produce relative to the value that you took them at or what you spent on them. So to me, it makes more sense to spend $25 on Russell Wilson than to spend – 60 on Lev Bell or Zeke or one of those guys, knowing that, hey, there's a 50% bust rate. The potential for Russell Wilson to bust sans injury is basically zero based on his history.
That's true, and that's why I'm curious to see how quarterback is going to play out at the top end. Are people going to want to go for that security of a top-tier quarterback, or are they going to say, I need to leave the draft with a $55, $50, $60 running back? Yeah. You know, or do they go for both, like, you know, like I did last year? I don't know. And I don't know that I'm going to have the same strategy this year. We'll see. We'll see how other people decide to play it. But, you know, it's also weird to look at, like, a quarterback ranking and see Drew Brees at, like, you know, as low as number 8 on some of these rankings, he was 1, 2, or 3.
That's a direct impact of Kamara, right? Because all of a sudden you add his number of throwing touchdowns last year, when he went from, what, he usually in the 30s, he went to, like, I think it was like 28 last year. So yeah, he dropped significantly from where he was because the rushing touchdowns were higher. So yeah, I mean, I think you'll see Breeze go back a little bit towards the norm there, but again, there was a stat, was it Mike that brought it up? Like, Kamara's rushing efficiency in terms of how many yards he produces per touch, like, that's not sustainable. Nobody can sustain that, especially if he's going to get a higher workload with Mark Ingram gone for the first 4 weeks. So, again, it'll just be, we'll see. You know, I am curious to see what has been on Mark Ingram, because he's suspended for the first 4 games, and the Saints have a bye week. I think it's week 6. So basically, going into week 7, you'll have been able to start him once. So who's willing to waste a roster spot, even if it's for just a few dollars for 6 weeks? I don't think anybody's going to really do that, but someone will try and snag him for like $5-$10,
right?
Hoping that he has a second half, you know, blowout.
That's a stash you have to make, and you have to be committed to it. Yeah, I don't know that a lot of people are going to be willing to throw him on the bench, especially with the prospect of Alvin Kamara just taking the opportunity and, you know, becoming a 25 to 30 touch guy a game, hogging all the work. I don't know that the Saints are going to do that necessarily, but it's possible.
Yeah, well, then you'll probably end up seeing the Kamara owner try and grab Ingram as well, just to basically secure that backfield.
That's a possibility as well. I wonder how it's going to play out with Ingram and the Saints, because they haven't had they've had a weird relationship. Somehow Ingram is still there, and despite the times that Sean Payton has tried to, like, almost shelve him and mess with his workload around the goal line a couple years ago, if I recall correctly. It's a weird dynamic, the relationship between the Saints and Mark Ingram. And I wonder if Kamara, you know, is the guy Sean Payton could finally tell Mark Ingram, hey, sit your ass on the bench. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. So I think, you know, we're coming up on 30 minutes here, plus our few minutes from the first try. So I think we'll call it there for our first go round. And, you know, I think that's a good kind of draft preview. It's, I think we're just looking forward to seeing what strategies play out. And I know we'll definitely be dissecting the rosters and the moves that were made, you know, once we're done. So, I mean, maybe we'll try and sneak another one of these in before.
I think we'd do one or two more.
Yeah, because we got over a month. So
we'll try to make it a little more structured. Maybe we'll throw in some viewer questions or listener questions.
Yep, we will have the ability to have users submit questions to us. I believe it's in voicemail form that we'll be able to play in this and then answer. Yeah, exactly. So this is a new app called Anchor. So thanks to Anchor for not sponsoring this podcast, but giving us the ability to create a podcast in this format and do it basically all from our phone, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So, anything else you wanna mention before we jump off?
I'm good. We'll see everybody next week.
Yep, we'll see you at the party.
Yep. All right, I'll see you later.
Thanks. Bye.